Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Welcome to the podcast. My name is Ben Bolin. I'm a video writer here at HowStuffWorks.com, and I'm hanging out with our very own auto editor.
I'm Scott Benjamin. I'm the, you just said it. I'm the auto editor here at HowStuffWorks.com.
I kind of stole your thunder.
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention, I guess. I was shuffling through my notes.
Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of notes on this one.
Yeah, we do. This is kind of a complex topic, but yeah. I'll try to cut through it a little bit and just we'll keep it simple. We'll keep it on the basic level for this.
Yeah, yeah. This will be an everyman's guide, a layman's guide.
Yeah.
We're going to address. Are you ready, Scott?
I'm ready.
Helicopters.
Excellent.
I was a little bit intimidated by this topic, mm-hmm. just because the more you look into it, the more science, the more history, there's so much behind what we know today as a helicopter.
You mean you're not a helicopter pilot? You've never piloted a helicopter?
Look, just because my nickname is Dr. Helicopter doesn't mean that I, you know, I think that's...
I'm not going to ask about that one bit. I really am not.
No.
Helicopters are pretty cool. I've liked helicopters for a long time. I've never, ever been in a helicopter, and I don't know if that's, you know, because I'm afraid of it or what. Mm. I think I am. I think I'm a little afraid of them.
Really?
Yeah, because I've been in towns, you know, in cities. Let's say you go to Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
There are helicopter tours that you can take of not only the Strip, but you can head over to the Grand Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the, you know, the sunlight, or rather the sunset tour.
Yes.
You can look at the Strip at night, you know, from a helicopter. I don't know. I've just kind of always backed down from the idea of ever doing that because I think I'm a little bit afraid of them.
Well, there's one thing we can gladly admit. Mm-hmm. Helicopters in the air, they don't look natural. It's true. If I was somewhere and I saw, you know, if I was from the Middle Ages or something, mm-hmm. and I saw an airplane, yes, I'd freak out.
Mm-hmm.
But if I saw a helicopter, it'd be even crazier. And that's because helicopters can do something that, you know, only even very few animals can do, like hummingbirds, right,
mm-hmm.
are one of the few animals that can fly backwards and that can hover.
Yep.
And a helicopter can do those things. A plane cannot. And, I mean, honestly, as somebody who's been in a helicopter, I love flying, Scott. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm a fan of hovering.
How many times have you been in a helicopter?
Three times.
Three times,
yeah.
Really? Very good.
Well,
tourist trip type stuff, or should
yeah,
I ask?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah,
not
nothing
like a,
nothing top secret.
Not like a med flight to the hospital or something.
Oh, no. All lighthearted helicopter trips.
Oh, good. Okay. So. Very good. I say that I'm afraid to go in them, but I think it's just, you know, getting over that first fear of getting in and actually feeling what it's like.
Yeah.
Early when I was really young, my dad had a friend that was he worked in television. My dad works in television, still uh-huh. does. And he had a friend that was he was in a helicopter. He's either a helicopter pilot. I was really young.
Okay.
Helicopter pilot, or he was a reporter in a helicopter, and it went down.
Uh-huh.
And it sticks out in my head so vividly. About this helicopter crash, and his friend's name was Kermit. And this is back in Peoria, Illinois, a long, long time ago. And I don't just ever since then, I've had this kind of irrational fear of them, because from what I read, you know, this is odd, but we'll get into this at
yeah.
the end, but there's a way that if a helicopter engine stops operating, there's a way for the helicopter to land safely. And I thought you're done. I thought, you know,
right.
there's no coasting like you can in a plane, but quite the contrary. It's mm-hmm. there's a way to set it down, and you know, like I said, we'll get into that towards the end,
sure.
the safety part of it. But it's actually a relatively safe vehicle mm-hmm. to travel in.
Oh, I just remembered the only other animal that can impersonate a helicopter, the dragonfly.
Oh, fantastic! Good,
because they can also hover.
Yeah, very good.
Do you want to get into the history?
I have a wiener dog that cannot hover.
You have a
dachshund cannot hover.
Cannot hover.
No, dachshunds cannot hover.
I was very disappointed. Last dog I had was a German Shepherd. I was very yeah. disappointed with
also
his,
cannot hover.
His lack of hovering.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
good at the launch.
Yeah, that's right. Not so good at backing up either.
Not a breed known for their aerodynamic design.
So anyway, let's yeah. get into this helicopter discussion here now that we've talked for 20 minutes about other stuff, but related stuff. Anyways.
Related stuff.
So get this.
What's that?
Helicopter design.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who it goes back to. I'll bet you can guess.
I will bet it is the great Kaiser Soze of our podcast, Leonardo da Vinci.
Absolutely correct. And the design is somewhere in the neighborhood of the 1480s. So the design of the helicopter goes all the way back to the 1480s. And again, it's just, now there's some speculation if he ever actually built any of these models, working models.
Right, or if he just drew them.
Exactly. But the idea was that the designs that he had, the entire vehicle spun with the screw shape. Actually, the design was called the aerial screw design. Mm-hmm. And the principle that it worked on was the screw keeps it, you know, gives it vertical capability.
Yeah.
And the entire vehicle spun with the what would be the blades, I guess, in a modern helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you don't want that because you would be violently ill quickly, I would think.
Right. And,
yeah.
And I can throw in another one here that goes back even further, but is not near the same as that machine.
Oh, cool.
Just there was a toy in China, the Chinese top. And I think you recognize this. It's basically just feathers at the end of a stick, and you spin it between your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you release it, it flies up just for a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's just that vertical flight.
I've seen wooden versions of that. I've had wooden versions of that. You pick them up at, these little towns that are touristy type towns.
Right.
Kids' toys. That usually they've made them in some wood shop there for, they're on for sale for $1 or $2 each. Great fun inside.
Guess when the first one of those dates back to?
I have no idea. You said it predates?
Yes.
I have no idea.
We're going way back here.
Really?
Yes, sir.
No, tell
400 BC.
No way.
Yes, way, Scott.
400 BC?
Yeah, yep.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
But
still, I think we should give Da Vinci the award for the first helicopter, because his was a machine that someone could sit inside.
Correct, but that you're talking, that toy was 1,900 years earlier?
I don't think they, and this is when archaeologists find the first trace of that toy.
Wow.
I don't think that means anybody said, hey, you know what? We should hop in one of these.
Yeah, that's right. That's a pretty radical idea to be able to get inside a vehicle that's going to actually lift off.
Mm-hmm.
And
it took a while to get there.
It did take a while to get there. I'll tell you exactly how long it took to get there.
Tell me exactly how long.
Let me see. I'm gonna go back to 1907.
1907.
1907.
All right.
So 1907, there's a Frenchman. His name was Paul Cornu. C-O-R-N-U. And he had a 20-second, 30-centimeter-high flight. So the flight lasted 20 seconds, 30 centimeters high is all he went, but the vehicle did lift off vertically.
And that counts.
And that counts. And that's really the first test of a helicopter from what we would consider a somewhat modern helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
But then it wasn't until, I think it was 1924, that another Frenchman flew in a helicopter. He flew a distance, though. He flew 1 kilometer, but it took him 7 minutes and 40 seconds. So the French were working on these the helicopters apparently very early. So what really kind of brought this about was end of World War One. In between the 1907, 1924 episode here, the advancements came after the war, near the end of the war, with the idea that they could be used for
reconnaissance.
Exactly, and that's primarily what they're used for. From that point forward, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And there were different, there were variations of this. In 1936, there was a German helicopter, which is probably the first practical helicopter that they've come up with. There was also something called an autogyro, which apparently could not hover, but it could, it could not descend vertically either. So it had kind of airplane characteristics, but it also had a bit more lift, a bit more vertical than a airplane would, but not exactly straight up and straight down like a helicopter we think of does.
Now, are those the ones where if you were looking at them from overhead, they would appear to be roughly built like an airplane, but with circular rotors inside the wings?
I believe that's the one, yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that gives it the ability to, like I said, just take off with a little bit less less runway than what was necessary for a standard plane at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because really what a plane is all about is getting air to flow across those wings to create lift.
Right.
With a helicopter, what you've got is the wing is the blades are taking the place of the wing, and mm-hmm. you're forcing air across those, and you're able to adjust it that way, and it's really going straight up, straight down. Mm-hmm. No need for wheels; it's just the skids. You know, again, you don't have to worry about rolling in these things.
Yeah, and then when we see the evolution of the helicopter now, because you know between World War One, the interwar period mm-hmm. to modern times. Obviously, there have been some pretty smart people doing some pretty smart things.
Yeah, that's right. And they're pretty advanced now. I mean, I like watching helicopters. I like seeing them because they're pretty fascinating, really.
Yeah.
There's a small helicopter near where I live here in Georgia. Lands on top of an optometrist building out in the city that I live in.
Really?
And, yeah, the wires around there, the telephone wires, all have the big orange... the balls that they attach to those so that they can see the wires, they're all around there. And occasionally you'll see the helicopter on top of the building. I don't know if he just uses it to get to and from work or what, but so they're in the hands of private individuals now as well.
Yeah.
And they have been for a long time. It's not anything new. And they're companies that make, you know, one-seat helicopters that, you know, you can build on your own.
Yeah, build your own.
I love watching those videos of those that, you know, the guy brings it in and he can balance it on top of a fence post or something like that. Those are really cool, but... I don't know if I would want to build my own helicopter, really. I have a little skepticism about, getting in something and then taking it up to, I don't know, 1,000 feet. My own thing.
Yeah, worry. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I really agree with you. Once you get to 1,000 feet, I think I could build one, and then around about 100 feet.
Yeah,
I would start thinking. All right, time to land this thing.
So let me get this straight. You're okay with falling 100 feet?
Yeah.
Okay. To me, 100 feet, 1,000 feet, I guess it's all the same at that point.
Well, I think I could survive.
Sure.
Wish you guys could see Scott's face.
Yeah.
That is not a Ben will survive face.
That's disbelief, but well, we'll see. Anyways, there's a lot to flying helicopters. And Do you know anything about the controls, or do you?
I know that, like a motorcycle, a helicopter requires all four of your limbs for operation.
Correct. Yeah. You're right. It's a handful to fly a helicopter. That's for sure. And that's why, even this is maybe a bad comparison. I don't know, but even remote control helicopters.
Yes.
You have to train to fly remote control helicopters because otherwise you'll destroy your investment quickly. Mm-hmm. You can't just pick it up and get it or understand it right away. Flying a real helicopter, obviously much more complex, and also, I mean, just very difficult to do. I mean, your hands are moving, mm-hmm. your feet are moving at all times. There's a lot to it. Your hand controls are the cyclic control, which controls your lateral direction, which is the forward, backward, left, and right.
Okay.
There's a collective control, which is really just up and down, and engine speed, and... then there's also the feet. Your feet are on pedals that control the tail rotor. And the tail rotor is a very critical part of every helicopter, really. The tail rotor controls the torque that comes from the main rotor.
Which prevents your helicopter from spinning.
Correct.
Like Leonardo's original gyroscope idea.
Exactly. So that it doesn't just wildly spin out of control as soon as you lift off the ground. The tail rotor counteracts whatever the rotor is going to do to you. So let's say that, you know, you lift off and it starts to kind of pivot around one way or the other on that axis of the main rotor. The tail rotor, which you control with your feet, again, remember, you're able to balance that out so that it remains steady, or you're able to, you know, swing it around and you can pivot however you like. Helicopters are extremely versatile. They're really flexible in the way they can move. They can move up, down, left, right. They can hover. They can go
sideways.
Back, like we said, they can go backwards. Airplanes can't do that. So it gives them advantage.
And helicopters, as a result, can fly almost anywhere.
Yeah, that's right. They're, other than, well, I guess if you think of it this way, I mean, you can't fly an airplane through dense woods or anything either. But, you got to be careful with, you know, what your surroundings, but really they can get into a lot of areas that airplanes can't get into, mm-hmm. and they can leave those areas just as easily. With an airplane, you need a long landing strip, and you also need a long, you know, takeoff. So, a long area for takeoff. That's a definite advantage, and that's why you see them, you know, that they're able to land on the highway and pick up, you know, somebody who's critically injured and needs to get to a hospital immediately. helicopters are the vehicle of choice.
And if you think about it, that one main advantage, that's the primary reason that people have insisted upon maintaining, improving, revising helicopter design despite several disadvantages. You know, in the military, of course, where we see a lot of helicopter research. Mm-hmm. I think the original mass production of helicopters, right, was a military mm-hmm. effort. If you see the way helicopters are designed now, of course, for a long time, they were just there to transport troops or to get reconnaissance. I guess first reconnaissance, and then later when they could lift more, they had troops or medical supplies or rescue. Mm-hmm. But the problem was, you know, these things were flying ducks, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're a bit dangerous because they're relatively slow compared to a jet or an airplane. They're an easier target, mm-hmm. but they're just so darn practical. They really are practical, and they can get in and out quickly and effectively. I mean, and I guess the precision, you're able to set down exactly where you want to. Mm-hmm. You're able to take off quickly again. You know, you never even have to shut it off. Just set down, unload or load, whatever you have to do, and get out. And but again, like you said, they're not as quick as a jet or a plane, and relatively easy target. So that's the downside. But they do have this incredible. There are some that are mm-hmm. they have this incredible lifting ability. Very valuable for that.
I've got a really cool piece of trivia for you, Scott.
Oh, okay, good.
There is a tradition of naming helicopters after Native American tribes.
I didn't know that.
The Apache. The Blackhawk, apparently. I picked this up somewhere, mm-hmm. and it's one of those things that finally connected and made sense to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know why that tradition has come about, but it's still there. And it kind of spurred me to read about the Apache and some of the modern military helicopters. Mm-hmm. Those things are crazy.
Enlighten me. I'm a little bit behind on the helicopter technology. Okay. If you've got some, I mean, I didn't mean to catch you off guard there or anything like that.
Perfect.
But.
Yeah. Pardon my shuffle being here.
That's
bit.
All right.
Okay. So let's just take the Black Hawk, right? It started service in the late 70s, and it's still one of the main choice helicopters for military forces around the world. We have an article on it. How Black Hawk helicopters work. So it works like pretty much, you know, every helicopter has to have the same design, which, again, you know, if we got into that design, we'd be here for a while.
Mm-hmm. Basic design, you mean? They're all a little bit different, right? But they've got the same basic elements, is what you're saying.
Right. Okay, yes, exactly. So it has three crew members, right? So not counting those three crew members, it can carry 11 soldiers, so a lot of times you'll see a Black Hawk in film or something as a transport vehicle to carry soldiers into a drop mm-hmm. zone or something.
Mm-hmm. No kidding, 14 people.
Yeah, total.
Wow.
Which is a lot.
It's
if you think of a helicopter.
Pretty big capacity. It's like a small bus.
Yeah, we're used to seeing the small traffic monitoring and weather monitoring copters.
Yeah, two-seat.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's because each wing can carry about 9,000 pounds of external loads.
Whoa.
Yeah,
wow.
And they have a cargo hook that can help them carry around boxes of stuff.
Cool.
And they have 16 missiles.
16? Holy cow, these things carry a lot of weight.
They can carry another 16 inside to reload.
Wow.
So the days of just flitting around trying not to get hit are done and over with, my friend.
It's gone. Okay, good.
And so they've got some other problems that are addressed in the problems of being an easy target. A lot of the U.S. military's money is spent trying to fix those. So the fuel system is made to seal itself off mm-hmm. if it gets hit. So
very smart.
Yeah, and all those war movies where you see a helicopter shot and the tail rotor goes out and it spins around and then they shoot it again and blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that doesn't happen with a Black Hawk. And then they can also, in case the missiles aren't enough, stick two machine guns on there and have two gunners for those. And you can actually, it says here, you can replace one of the monitoring systems with a chain gun.
A chain gun?
Yeah, this thing is pretty much capable of... You remember Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
This helicopter, as well as the Apache, they're basically designed to be as hardcore as his character and just rain down vengeance
nice,
upon people.
Nice comparison.
It was an awkward comparison, but thank you for going with
all right.
me.
I dig it.
So I just wanted to take a moment and talk about that because it's so mind-boggling when you think of the helicopter's original design, what it is sort of morphed into as we've been able to figure out more of the technology behind it.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool. I'm like I said, I'm a little bit behind on the technology stuff on helicopters, but one thing that I did find cool, and I promised that I would talk about this early on, so we're going to, and not much more than this, really. But
okay.
Auto rotation. This is a safety feature that that I was telling you about, that a helicopter can put itself safely on the ground, well, with a lot of help from the pilot, but it can relatively safely place itself on the ground if the engine stops in midair.
Let's really bring this home. Let's do a hypothetical.
Sure.
All right. I am with you in a helicopter. You're piloting the helicopter. The engine dies. We're going down.
Yep.
How are we going to do it without dying?
The thing goes straight down. It really does. It goes down, but it doesn't go down as fast as you would think it would. It doesn't fall like a rock. The blades are able to spin. They're able to they slow the vertical speed. They slow it down to the point where it's going. I think they said that it slows down to around 15 miles per hour, which
15
is
or
15.
Wow,
which is pretty amazing. That's the roughly the same speed that a parachutist hits the ground when they have the parachute open. So that's, you know, not bad, but not great to land. You know, you're hitting the ground at 15 miles per hour in a helicopter. That's not good either way. But the idea is that it softens the landing. And it's possible because the rotor then is allowed to free spin, or it's allowed to freewheel, is what it's called, a freewheel unit. So the blades can spin faster. And what it does is it just slows down the airspeed. And there's also, and I don't quite understand exactly how this works, but there's a flare at the end that's possible that will, I don't know if it further increases the speed of the rotor or what, but it will even further soften the landing, just the instant before it hits the ground. So the idea is that the pilot has a lot to do quickly. I mean, they do have to counteract the rotation that we're talking about. You know, the torque steer, I guess, from the main rotor that happens again. So the pilot has to jump right on what's going on. He has to know immediately what to do.
Okay.
So it's not like he just throws up his hands and says, "Well, we're going down." It's you know, there's things that have to happen for this to work out correctly or for everybody to live.
So in our scenario, the engine dies. I throw up my hands and say, "Well, we're going down."
Yes, I bail out on the left. But it's really kind of cool because I had no idea that it was able to do this. But the idea is that you're able to hopefully find a spot that's safe to set this down, like in a field or maybe even on a street. Try to avoid any buildings or anything, you know, unlevel surfaces that, you know, maybe it would roll over when it hits. But more safe than I thought it was in a helicopter. I just, for some reason, I thought it would drop like a rock right out of the sky. But, you know, where an airplane requires forward movement, a lot of speed to glide even, but that's possible. But a helicopter doesn't need that. It does fall, but it falls much slower, and that's due to this auto rotation. So I thought that was really interesting, and that's really about the last bit I have about helicopters today. But
so you wouldn't build your own helicopter?
Fun project, but I don't. I just would be a little wary of flying in something that I built. I mean, maybe a boat I'd be all right in. I don't know, but in a car
because you can swim.
Sure. Yeah, because I can swim, and you know, car you can get out and put your feet on the ground, but. Building your own plane, your own helicopter, that's a different level.
A little different.
It's a different level,
okay.
Yeah. How about you, Ben? Would you build your own helicopter?
You know what? I would definitely build my own helicopter. It's kind of strange because, you know, I'm obviously terrified of doing the uphill race that we had talked about earlier.
Yeah, that's right.
At the Pikes Peak.
Yeah.
Just for some reason, the idea of that cliff.
Yeah, because, that's crazy to get in the car
crazy,
and drive uphill.
But building my own helicopter, yeah I would, even after what we've talked about now, especially now that I know I might not die if it, if I have less than perfect craftsmanship, I probably would do it. I have a hard time thinking of anyone I could talk into going with me. Mm-hmm. And that seems irresponsible.
Well, most of these hobby helicopters are, single seater anyways.
Oh, that's good.
Plus, very quick commute to work.
Oh, you're right.
You could land right on the roof, and now you're done. I worked at Chrysler when Bob Lutz worked there, and he would fly his helicopter in from, I think he lived in Ann Arbor, and he would land on the top of the headquarters and go back and forth that way.
That's crazy.
It's pretty awesome.
I'm sold.
Yeah.
Okay, so that wraps it up for us today. To our listeners, you guys, thanks so much for tuning in. Have you ever piloted a helicopter, rode in one? Do you have any particularly strange stories about those? Or do you have an idea that you would like to have us do a podcast on? If so, please send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the new High Speed Stuff blog, now on the How Stuff Works homepage.